Engage. Welcome to Revlog, where we get to start a new Bible study together.
We do.
We're going.
We're prepared to begin this new study.
That's right.
I am prepared.
Yeah, for Ephesians. I think we're all ready for Ephesians here. We're a little taken aback because we want to go through the whole book, but our Bible study leaves out some sections. So when we come to this week, we come to Ephesians 1, but leaves out the first couple of verses.
I guess I don't know why. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess they're just looking at specific chunks. We get almost the whole book, but there's a few verses missing here and there. Aaron made a plea before we started to at least include 13 and 14 this week, 1, 13, and 14. Do we want to agree to do that?
All in favor?
Why not?
Aye.
Why not? Yes.
but I am excited about Ephesians, and we'll get to this in particular. But all the way through, we're going to be filled with deepening Christology here. It's a wonderful look into who Jesus is.
Amen.
What are you hoping, Aaron, from Ephesians, this study?
Well, I love these letters of Paul. I mean, you know, sometimes Paul can be really dense, you know, and just in his, you know, his mind as he works out.
I will say some of this is kind of wordy.
Yes.
That we're looking at this week.
And that's fair, but you know, it's the ability to go through a book in its entirety and in this letter that you know Paul intended for this church and to really consider what that means for us. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be good. Now, Brian, what are you looking forward to
in
Ephesians?
I love this letter because it's a general letter. It has been recognized as being very applicable to a wide range of churches. Mm-hmm. I mean, it says it's to the Ephesians, of course, but it aims for a wider audience, and it doesn't seem to, you know, like in his letters to the Corinthians, you know, he talks about specific things that are going on, and this is just a more general letter to the churches, and I think that is helpful to us all.
Yeah, and I think what you see worked out here, like you said, he doesn't seem to be directly answering specific problems like in Corinth,
right?
But he is expressing his ever deepening theology. And how the theology that we learn then affects the lives that we live.
Absolutely.
So, Aaron, help us get started here. So, in particular, we're looking at Ephesians 1, 3 through 12. We're going to add 13 and 14. But what's your initial reaction
here? Well, I love 13 and 14, and I'm just going to start there. It's one of those things that I just, if it were up to us, you know, we'd mess it up. And just the idea that
the three of us,
for sure, for certain, but that the Holy Spirit deposit a guarantee that we are secured in Him. Yeah. That and
it's kind of like Hebrew. There's a
that's right. You know, the idea of we're kind of trust fund babies that you know we'd spend it right now if we could and we would blow it and we would but that you know once we have been adopted. As His, that's unshakable, and that is such a secure feeling to know so Paul gives us this formula here, and he says, you know, you are predestined to be adopted children of God, and let me give you the formula, you know, by His blood, by accepting, by receiving that, by you know, confessing your sin and walking in the light of who He is. This is the pattern by which you are saved and by which you are then sealed and adopted into this kingdom. And it's just this beautiful picture that to recognize that we're not worthy, that we on our own are not going to get this right. But don't worry, God has made a way through Christ to bring this fold together.
And as He unfolds what adoption means, it's this sense of full adoption that includes full inheritance.
That's right.
And it's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, and that's very well said. That we're not second class. Mm-mm. That adoption means fully, like you just said, that we are completely His. Yeah.
Amen. Brian, what's your initial reaction here?
Did you just say that Christians are cosmic trust fund babies. Am I understanding
that? I think I did. I'm just asking if that's what I heard.
let's check the stock market, shall we? All right. I can almost picture Paul pacing back and forth, dictating to his amanuensis, you know, as the person is writing, you know, feverishly, and Paul is just, you know, walking around saying, you know, mystery and fulfillment and, you know, summation and, you know, all these grand ideas. It's just amazing. His amanuensis had to. I don't know. Maybe he went through them, you know. He goes, you try to work for him. I can't do this anymore.
I do picture Paul speaking quickly through these things and throwing much out there.
No, strike that. Okay. Right. And now it's, you know, inspiration is hard work. Inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So I think that we see that kind of process at work here. But I will say that I love how he speaks of Christ as he uses the word summation in there. Mm-hmm. And Christ is, you look at Christ and it puts the vexing questions aright. Mm-hmm. In all the whole world, in all of our existence. It's a very existential kind of exercise. You look to Christ and things begin to shift into place. And I will say this, while I do agree that we've lost our way and we're bent by these behaviors that take us further out from God, and we become an echo chamber to ourselves and we can't find our way back. We need Christ, and so in that sense, we don't have any self-saving kinds of power. When Christ looks at us, and Paul is talking about how all Christ has done, and how he's come to our aid. When Christ looks at us, he doesn't see worthless. We mean an awful lot to him.
Yeah.
And I want to put that word in here just to remind myself, too, that I am treasured by Christ and deeply loved by him, as are we all. And I think to dwell on that has great merit as well. Yeah. And I think this can put us there. If all of this works towards our benefit, we must mean an awful lot to Christ. Amen.
Yeah, and that's perfect coming out of our previous study.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh,
that helps us walk into this letter to the Ephesians. Aaron, what question comes to mind as you read through this?
Well, if Paul had been born 2,500 years later, he could have had his own, you know, Apostles' Log supplemental. And he could have... You know, recorded all this. You know, the Enterprise computer would have recorded
working.
I went to a sci-fi place that no one else went to, but I
love it. It fits with the cosmic scope.
I have no idea how Star Trek fits into this.
How much time do you have?
The vastness
Thank
of
you.
The cosmos.
That's right. Paul says that he has made known to us the mystery.
Yeah.
Of his goodwill. I think, first of all, I love that there is still mystery, that we don't have it all figured out. I love that. For us to assume that we just know how all things work and there to know that there is some mystery. But Paul says that he has made known to us the mystery of his goodwill, are we seeking after that? Are we content with our understanding of God? Or are we pursuing a further understanding of his pleasure, of his goodwill, and what that means for how I act toward my brother, how I act towards humanity in general, and the kingdom purpose.
There is something joyful about pursuing a mystery,
that's right.
Isn't there?
That's right.
And God laying out those breadcrumbs for us, kind of a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That that extends far beyond what we could ever obtain, right? Brian, what's your question of the text that does not involve Star Trek?
The Final Frontier. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, these are the... No, okay, I'm not going to... My question is, who am I in Christ's eyes? Who am I in Christ's eyes? And I want to know that because I think I know what I could come up with in my own eyes, but I want to know who I am in Christ's eyes.
Yeah, and likely your best view of yourself is still not where Christ is and how he views you.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yes.
And I think we could even take that one step further, and I've heard you say something similar before, then how does Christ view my neighbor?
Yeah,
right?
How
does Christ view me and how that changes the way I think,
right,
the way I behave, and then how does Christ view my neighbor in the same way?
It's got to affect that, or we're not really asking that question.
Yeah, and it'll affect how I treat others.
Yeah. Right?
And if we can just kind of remember this conversation in light of these chapters in Ephesians that this is Paul launches in. He says, "Grace and peace. Let's get to the point."
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
you have been adopted by his blood, and therefore there's a code of conduct then for how you treat every. I mean, and so much of this will be unpacked in the coming weeks. So to remember, you know, Paul had a very specific, you know, and it's relational. They're very relational.
Yeah,
text.
You do. That's a good point. I mean, the first half of this book, you're really going in depth in theology, Christology. Mm-hmm. Back half of the book, you're looking at very practical applications of those things, right, and how it affects us.
Yeah.
We would love to hear your thoughts on Colossians 1. If you'd comment below.